there is nothing new under the sun. That includes an abiding human nature. Social class distinctions are as old as human community. We cannot hope to change human nature, but like other human passions and sins, we can hope to tame it through community. I wish to say at the outset of this sermon, I don't mean to make anyone uncomfortable this morning. I simply want to talk about the reality. I think we can say it's a reality of perceptions of social class. So I ask you to bear with me in the faith that I mean well and may have some relief in store towards the end. Social class in America can be divided up in several ways. For more than a century, it was like in England, simply upper, middle, and lower. In the 20th century, lower class became working class due in part to the recognition of the power of labor. In the 19th century, Matthew Arnold used these same classes but renamed the uppers the barbarians, and the middle, the Philistines, and the lowers, the populace, meaning the mob. We Americans love seeing class distinctions writ large and clear in representations of the English class system. Downton Abbey is only the most recent. Before that, there was Howard's End and all of the E.M. Forster stories and the Forsyte Saga and Gosford Park and Brideshead Revisited and all the Jane Austen stories. And what could be more class conscious than upstairs, downstairs? The English gobble this stuff up too. Why do so many of us find this stark portrayal of class so very interesting and so pleasurable? Perhaps it's because part of us is comfortable with the limits that are placed on us by our class. Why would we enjoy it otherwise? In America, too, we, for a long time, had upper, middle, and lower. Some American sociologists felt that there were more than three divisions needed and came up with upper, upper middle, middle, lower middle, and lower. Lower middle in those days meant a person, a man usually, who had a solid high school education and had gone into skilled manual labor. Not a miner, for instance, but a master carpenter. In the second half of the 20th century, lower class was squeezed out of existence and replaced with the high end of the proletariat class. This last division has lasted for more than 30 years and was worked out by a writer named Paul Fussell in his 1983 work, Class, A Guide Through the American Status System. A lot of people know, or at least have heard of, at least part of his nine classes, which are, first, the top, the three upper classes, top out of sight, the one percenters. Upper class. Richard Branson plays games with us by allowing us to book a seat in Virgin Atlantic's upper class section. Not first class. Upper class. And upper middle is the bottom of the upper. By the way, though, seen from above, seen by the top two classes, upper middle isn't really upper at all. Seen from below, it looks kind of upper. Then there are four solidly middle classes. Middle, high proletarian, mid proletarian, low proletarian. The proletarian classes are still known as working class, but also known by the derogatory term prol. This is high prol. This is low prol. And finally, the two lowest classes, destitute, the poverty-stricken, including the homeless and bag ladies and hobos. Although hobos have an odd little class of their own, a special society with a code of conduct. Gentlemen of the road, they like to be known as. Finally, mirroring the top, bottom, out of sight. The institutionalized, in prison, in mental hospitals, or in hiding, in a welfare hotel room, or in a shack outside of town. When I preach on race, I speak of how it's an unfortunate part of human nature to want to elevate oneself by looking down on others. Classism is another way to look down on others. It's a bit of fun, kind of, but at bottom, it's not nice. And it's an uncomfortable subject to talk about. I was raised in the upper half of the middle class, whereas my wife was raised in the middle third of the upper middle class. There's a difference. My father was a chemical engineer at Hanford. My mother was a librarian. Deborah's father was a stockbroker who worked on Wall Street. Same income, but little higher class. Partly because he didn't have a boss. While I'm on the subject, I confess that I was eager to leave the middle class and lapped up upperish class knowledge and taste. I wanted to learn how to pronounce that 16th century Italian painter Titian and not call him something else, something wrong, like Titan or something. Yeah. I wanted to learn about Ezra Pound and Swedenborgianism and the difference between silver plate and sterling and how a lithograph differs from an offset press reproduction. I wanted to know the difference between Corian and limestone and granite. I wanted to know the difference between pine and fir and the hardwoods and the fruitwoods. Upper class. Walnut. Cherry. Yeah. Like Hindu India, we have a caste system here too, although they are not written into law. There are thousands of things that are called caste markers. If America were to start thinking in terms of caste, it would be helpful in conveying the rigidity of class here, the difficulty, the writer Fussell writes, of moving either upward or downward out of the place where you were nurtured. It's important early on to make a distinction between wealth and class. Wealth plays a role, but it's not an exclusive one. We find classy people in all classes, even, as I learned as a social worker in San Francisco, even among the destitute and the bottom out of sight. One's class is also a factor in one's education, intelligence, a factor of one's education, intelligence, awareness, refinement, true courtesy, true kindness, true generosity, true gentleness. Donald Trump has a lot of money, but nobody who has observed him would call him classy. He has said in interviews that he's not comfortable with rich people. He's much more comfortable with ordinary people, he says. Well, no wonder his wealth allows him to be his vulgar, dishonest, bullying self and not be called on it. I imagine he doesn't like upper-class people because they, in their relaxed confidence and acute eye for class markers, see him for what he is. In Brave New World, Aldous Huxley created a future society that is heavily regulated and categorized. Rereading it, I caught a whiff of where China may be going. You may recall the castes of this Brave New World. They ran from Alpha Double Plus down through Beta, Gamma, Delta to Epsilon, the lowest. children were manufactured biologically and raised with class-appropriate educations and mindsets. There were lots of people in the lower classes to do the work, and fewer as the caste pyramid narrowed toward the top. I decided I wanted to be an Alpha Plus. How about you? Alpha Double Pluses were the theoretical physicists and mathematicians and genius types. Alpha Pluses were more like the old-time aristocracy. They had more freedom and more fun. But in fact, this new world was airtight totalitarian, and nobody has much more than the illusion of freedom. Huxley was describing a world where class meant everything and was assigned. He was saying, of course, that our old world is not so very different from his dystopian new one. We are immersed in class distinctions and judgments, or should we say condemnations. Some we are acutely aware of, some we sense uneasily, some we embrace, some are unconscious. They're in our DNA, some, and in our breeding. Here are the main categories of markers. How you speak. Remember Henry Higgins and Eliza? How you write. How you dress. Where you live. What your house is like. What your yard is like. What your living room is like, whether or not you have books. If you have books, what kind of books? What kind of magazines do you have out? And might you be trying to make a statement with them? I confess, I did for a while. It's a sign of my middle-class origins that I care what people might think about what I'm reading. The securest classes don't give a hoot about what other people might think. What kind of dog do you have? Is it purebred? Or for you ewes, is it a rescue dog? Oh, you have a purebred. Did you get it spayed? No, we don't get it purebred spayed. They're meant to be bred. Oh, I see. I got a rescue dog. What's in your kitchen and bathroom? What kind of car do you drive? Is the formica in your house an honest, solid color, or is it pretending to be something else? Do you have horses, and if so, do you use them to look down on people? That's what being on a high horse means, you know. What do you drink? And what kind of glasses do you use to drink it? How much of your diet is sweets, carbohydrates, fried food, fast food? Do you live in a place that is associated with religious fundamentalism, like Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University, Lynchburg, Virginia, Jerry Falwell, Garden Grove, Robert Schuller, Tulsa, Oral Roberts? One can be a wonderful person and come from such a place, but you will have trouble getting accepted as part of the upper class if they find out. You're from Tulsa? Does your town have a respectable newspaper? And on and on. Everything is steeped in class consciousness or class unconsciousness. Enough. The middle class, Fussell says, is the most tortured about class issues and appearances. It's hoping to move up, worried about slipping down, and always in a state of anxiety and uncertainty. Only the very rich, confident, carefree, careless as they are, can ignore all this. The very poor don't have the time and can't do anything about it anyway. Everyone else is worried or is checked out in one way or another. My mother's older sister, Roberta Ruth, known as Biff, was the eldest of three sisters. She was the prettiest. She was the most accomplished musically, and her family invested everything in her as a means of escaping lower middle class. My grandfather was a band leader and when he couldn't hold his embouchure anymore, became a barber. My grandmother was active in the Methodist Church across the street. But Addie Biff, as we called her, wrecked her mother's plan by running off and marrying someone totally inappropriate. She didn't want to be part of her mother's machinations to elevate the family into a different social class. She wanted to be herself and be happy. And what was that? They invested in this woman, young woman, and lost. There's a better way to deal with this than defiance or despair. There is, I believe, a way out. Mr. Fussell, in his class in America, has a 10th class, which he calls Category X. This was invented before and has nothing to do with Generation X. As it turns out, though, it suits us religious liberals pretty well. We free people. I quote from Fussell, who is enamored with the X class. X people are better conceived as belonging to a category than a class because you're not born an X person. You are born and reared to be proletarian or middle or something else. You become an X person, or rather you earn X personhood by a strenuous effort of discovery in which curiosity and originality are indispensable. And in discovering that you can become an X person, you find the only escape from class, the class system. Entering category X often requires flight from parents or forebears or your former friends. The young flocking to the cities these days to devote themselves to art and writing and creative work, anything virtually that liberates them from the presence of a boss or a supervisor, these are aspirant X people. And if they succeed in capitalizing on their talents, they may end up as fully fledged X-types, able to successfully carry it off. What kind of people are these? The old-fashioned term bohemian is a partial answer. Some X's are intellectuals, but a lot are not. Some are actors, musicians, artists, sports professionals, semi-professionals, well-to-do former hippies, journalists. They are self-cultivated. They favor self-employment, doing what social scientists call autonomous work. I'm doing it. That. I don't have a boss, so to speak. The supervisor, anyway. If the middle-class person is always somebody's man, the X-person strives to be nobody's. And her freedom from supervision, if she can achieve it, is one of the most obvious characteristics. Fussell continues, X people are independent-minded, free of anxious regard for popular shibboleths, loose in carriage and demeanor. They try to find work they adore, and if they find it, they do it until they are finally carried out. Retirement to them is a foreign concept. Being an X person is like having much of the freedom and some of the power of a top out of sight or upper class person minus the money. X category is kind of an unmoneyed aristocracy. X people tend to dress down a notch. If the X's ever descend to wearing legible clothing, stuff written on your clothes, the words, unlike U.S. drinking team, are original and interesting, sometimes in a foreign language, although no comment on them is ever expected. When an X person meets a member of an identifiable class, the X costume, no matter what it is, conveys the message, I am freer and less terrified than most. I am not afraid to be an individual. The clothes worn are not advertising for some company, but proclaim oneself, one's individuality, and one's independence. X people change location when they, not their bosses, feel they should. Their houses are more likely to be old than new. Old ones are cheaper for one thing, and by flaunting a well-used house, you can proclaim your freedom from the American obsession with the shiny up-to-date. Many X people are more likely to take back roads or the old U.S. highway system roads rather than the boring, soulless freeways, the interstates. Charles Kuralt, who reported for CBS News for years, and had a wonderful show called Charles Kuralt on the Road, some of you remember, He said that you can cross this whole country on the interstates and not meet anyone. May I suggest, on your return from, say, Eugene, that you give yourself an extra half hour or even an hour and take 99 West through Junction City and Monroe and Corvallis and Monmouth and Rickreel on your way to Portland. And don't drive. Motor. The older highways follow the contours of the land, and you get to look down in this case and see the Willamette Valley in a way you have perhaps forgotten. It is much better for the soul. Pucel continues, X people tend to be loose about mealtimes, hunger and convenience being their only motivations for eating. Like the uppers, X's generally eat late rather than early, and their meals often last longer, what with all the prolonged comic and scandalous narrative at the table. X people don't eat dinner out much. Intelligent and perceptive as they are, this is Fusel, intelligent and perceptive as they are, they know that if you're at all clever, you can eat better at home. They also get no satisfaction from bossing waitresses around as an outlet for what they've endured from their bosses earlier that day. X's are fairly free with four-letter words, but use them judiciously in comic and ironic ways, not in anger. X's hate euphemisms, which they see as the realm of the middle class. They use lover instead of something else, constant companion, and death instead of passing away or crossing over. In most every aspect of life, the X person chooses freedom and refinement and liberality. X people constitute a classless class. They resemble E.M. Forster's aristocracy of the sensitive, the considerate, and the plucky. They occupy the one social place in the USA where the ethic of buying and selling is not all-powerful. People fearful that X-hood may be somehow un-American would do well to remember that Mark Twain created an exemplary X-person and said when first introducing him, Huckleberry came and went at his own free will. For all the people who aspire to get into the upper middle class, there are a constant few with notable gifts of mind and perception who aspire to disencumber themselves into X people. It is only as an X, detached from the constraints and anxieties of the whole class racket, that an American can enjoy something like the liberty promised on the coinage. And it's in the X world, if anywhere, that an American can avoid some of the envy and ambition that pervert so many lives. The society of X's is not large now. It takes a kind of moral courage to stand apart from what so many others consider normal and proper. X society could easily be larger, for many can join who have not yet understood that they have received an invitation from the examples of the lives of those who have at least partly freed themselves from the tyranny of class. That's what we can do for ourselves, and I hope everyone in the world will opt out of the class system. We must keep in mind, though, that being able to opt out is part of our class privilege, which in America and the West is part of white privilege. One of the worst aspects of the new Jim Crow is the forced reassignment through mass incarceration of millions into the growing bottom out of sight, from which opting out to X class is a ludicrous proposition. David Brooks, a moderate and classy conservative who writes for the New York Times, pointed out a year ago in an opinion piece titled Class Prejudice Resurgent that a widening class distances produce class prejudice, classism, a view which metastasizes into vicious, intellectually lazy stereotypes. Class prejudice is applied to both the white and the black poor whose demographic tracks are converging. Ultimately, Brooks says, we don't need so much a national conversation on race and class. We need a common project. If this nation works together, he writes, to improve social mobility for the poor of all races through projects like President Obama's My Brother's Keeper initiative, then social distance will decline, classism will decline, and racial prejudice will obliquely decline as well. In a friendship, Brooks concludes, people don't sit around talking about their friendship. They do things together. Through common endeavor, people overcome difference to become friends. That common endeavor idea has worked in other parts of our lives, like in families, in team sports, in business. There's reason to believe common endeavor might overcome differences within church, too. I have a few copies of a class self-evaluation called the Living Room Scale. I can give these away during sermon discussion over here. Caution, at the very least, it will make you self-conscious and could be upsetting, so consider not doing it.